It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. That's right, folks. It is I, your host, Joe Canelli. It's your kind of daily sports dump at this point. You know, sports are ramping up and so is our dailiness. So we're semi-daily at this point, but for today, we're certainly daily. It's Tuesday, May 19th, 2020. 19-2020. Boy, 2020, what a year, huh? All right. Well, sports, as I said, are coming back, so let's get to a little of the news. Of course, they're not back yet, so it's mostly criminal activity. Wide receiver Cody Latimer was arrested after allegedly pulling a gun during a dispute over a poker game last week. I got to say, this is the ballsiest poker move Latimer has pulled since bluffing Denver into drafting him 6 years ago. Zing. Moving on. In the NFL, they are reportedly considering adding a surgical mask or surgical mask material to face masks in order to protect the players from COVID-19. Now, if implemented, this move could extend players' average life expectancy all the way up to 45 years of age. Oh, pretty good. And, although we got more jokes, so this isn't an and, but I don't know if you know this, but the University of Kentucky fired its head cheerleading coach and most of the staff after reports of inappropriate behavior by the team. Apparently, instead of spelling out Kentucky, they just asked their fans to give them 3 Ks. You know, honestly, in some SEC schools, that wouldn't even get tagged as inappropriate behavior. But it is an interesting story. Look it up. They're nationally ranked, always win national titles, and I guess they had a lot of naked parties. So cheerleading is cooler than I thought. All right, moving on. Oh, back to football. Pennsylvania's governor, they are not happy Ben Roethlisberger got a haircut in the middle of the pandemic when all barbershops are supposed to be closed. For his part, Roethlisberger said this is the worst thing he's ever done without permission in his life. Look that up too, folks. And we're going to be talking more about this later, but Scottie Pippen reportedly upset by the Last Dance documentary that concluded on Sunday. He felt it didn't portray him as the model teammate that he was. He wants to be remembered as a guy who always gave 110%, although he never tipped 1%. Those were your news items turned into joke format. Thank you, Quincy, as always, for providing mirth to the earth. Wow. Did I just invent that? I sure hope so. Now, folks, I hate having lied to you, but it turns out that I did lie to you, because I said we were not going to have any more mock draft updates. And yet, here we are, and I'm about to give you an NFL mock draft update. Yeah, I didn't think it was going to happen, but boy, oh boy, Tom Fornelli, I believe this was yesterday, well, he put out a 2021 mock draft for some reason, and so, you know, it's something to do, right? So I'm going to do it. If you don't remember, the mock draft update is where this was more relevant when it was before the NFL draft and not before the NFL preseason, but mostly from CBS Sportsline, and boy, oh boy, this is from CBS Sportsline as well. They would do drafts all the time, mock drafts, mock drafts, mock drafts. And so in order to save you time, I read the mock draft, or at least the important part, which is not the draft element. It's the intro, which will explain to you why you don't need to read the draft. They all do. Let's find it in this one. So this one's Tom Fornelli, CBS Sportsline. Thank you, Tom. He says the NFL draft is a year-round process. While it takes over 3 days in the spring, teams never stop preparing for it. So even though the draft's 11 months away, it's never too early to try to get an idea of what's likely to happen. Did you hear that? To try to get an idea of what's likely. It's not to try to figure out what's going to happen. It's not to get an idea of what's going to happen. It's not to get an idea of what's likely to happen. It's to try to get an idea of what's likely to happen. Three disclaimers right there. Now, in his mock, he finds a blend of what teams could need following the 2020 season and what players are the likeliest to be coveted by NFL teams. Don't take this too literally. Okay, I mean, obviously. Anyway, instead, look at it as a thought exercise. Well, folks, there's a lot of other thought exercises we can be doing right now. All right, and that's all you need to know, really, and then into the draft. I will say six quarterbacks taken. That's kind of crazy in the first round, like in the first 12 picks or something like that. It's nuts. Anyway, don't go look at it unless you want to. But I can't believe they're still doing mock drafts. I had ended our segment. I thought we weren't going to bring that back for at least, 8 months. But there it was. So that was your unexpected mock draft update for today, Tuesday, May 19th. Hopefully we won't have another one of those for a while. And now, I alluded to it earlier. Yes, The Last Dance is over. The last episode of The Last Dance, everyone's analyzed it except the most important person, and that is the sports widow, my wife, Molly Erdman, who is going to join me here in a second to talk about The Last Dance from the perspective of a person who's aware of pop culture, but maybe not into sports as much as her husband. Okay? Might be more like most listeners than you'd think. So here it is, our interview with, not interview, our discussion, my wife and I, of The Last Dance. And this is also The Last Dance of the Sports Widow on this platform. More on that later. Okay, enjoy. And now, the moment we've all been waiting for is here. The Sports Widow, Molly Erdman, is here with us. This is our first, well, I guess other than our daughter, our first in-house quarantine episode.
Oh, really? I thought I had done others, just not since you moved into your studio.
That's right. My new studio, folks, and I think I've spoken about this before, but because we sometimes get additional listeners for the Molly episodes, I will explain that our new podcast studio is what was formerly, and still is, mostly my closet with some of our kind of stuff we don't use that much.
Mm-hmm.
And it still serves that purpose. I think I've done some organizing. We got rid of some stuff, and now I sit in the closet where our hamper once sat.
Yeah.
The exact spot, perhaps.
You take up the same amount of room.
And I smell the same.
Mm.
Oh. Well, a lot of the clothes are the same. So here we are. We've watched all 10 episodes of The Last Dance.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I enjoyed it. It's interesting because I did live in Chicago for the end, 96 on.
You were there for the last three-peat.
Yes. And while I do remember specifically one night, like when they won, mm-hmm, one of them. I'm going to say it might have been in 97.
Okay.
I had no interest.
None.
None at all. I had no interest in sports.
Right.
I had no, like, nothing. So.
Okay.
I mean, I knew who most of the people were. Yeah. Like, I knew their names and stuff.
Sure. This is why you are the sports widow.
That's right.
You're aware of these things. You represent a good segment of the population that is culturally aware of sports. And you go beyond that a little bit into watching some sports and liking it.
Now
I do. But not being a sports aficionado.
No.
Or even a fan of any hardcore nature.
No, and. I think that spending so much time in Wrigleyville in Chicago actually turned me against most sports.
Yes.
Because there were just so many idiots around.
That was, yes. And Wrigleyville in Chicago is right near, obviously, Wrigley Field. But
is that why?
But beyond that is Clark Street.
Yeah, and I used to live by that L stop.
Yes.
You know, like, it's just awful.
Clark Street, basically, for about at least a quarter mile.
It's just puddles of urine.
Puddles of urine in either direction. Yeah. From Wrigley Field now, because going up to about what used to be the old Annoyance Theater, I think is still
to Grace. Down
so
to
you
Belmont.
Almost have a mile strip of bars, sports bars exclusively, yeah. and obviously there's only 81 Cubs games a year, but every Bears game,
yeah,
every Saturday, all the colleges, each of those bars is affiliated with some Big Ten school, and then during the basketball season, even though the Bulls are awful, people will go out to drink, or for the Blackhawks, who, you know,
right.
are at least good enough to drink to.
Yeah.
And that neighborhood was, you're right, end-to-end puke, different than where our improv theaters in L.A. are, which is Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, different fluids.
Different kinds of puke.
From different people.
Yes. Yes. A lot of the same fluids actually just brought
just
about...
different sources.
Sadder in Hollywood, actually.
Yeah.
But no less disgusting
right.
to us.
Yeah.
And you had all those frat boy Cub fans...
Yeah.
And honestly, the Cubs were good a couple times during our run in Chicago. When you first moved there, they had a good run, mm-hmm. and they were bad a little bit. And then probably before you moved, they were good again. And I was there a couple years longer on either end. But in the years in between, that's what made me the angriest at the party frat boy atmosphere at Wrigley Field that had nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
And... you know, that pisses everybody off because they're partying frat boys, which only appeals to partying frat boys.
Yeah.
That's the only group that partying frat boys, even partying frat girls may
women.
Want. Women. They're on the edge there, I guess.
Right.
That when they pledge, they're girls. And then they're women once they're
they
in.
They become, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I honestly think, and I, you know, baseball is the one sport that prior to that I did like and did like going to games.
Sure.
And I did go to a couple of Cubs games early on when I lived in Chicago, but I think it made me hate the Cubs.
Right.
And really, it created a backlash against all sports, just having to deal with idiots.
And it's like being around COVID. The longer you're exposed to it, the greater the disease is, apparently, they found out. Like, if you're at a party and a bunch of people have it, you're going to get it in a bad case, possibly.
Oh.
So if you just have, like a lot of diseases, if you have prolonged and more exposure to more of it, that could make you sicker. And that's what happened with you in sports.
Yeah.
But, again, everyone's aware of Michael Jordan, the phenomenon.
Yes.
And this was kind of the only appointment watching, although we never, because of being on the West Coast and having a kid, we never watched it live.
No.
But we mostly got through. We'd watch the first episode of the two on Sunday and then the second on Monday.
I really enjoyed it. I think actually I might have enjoyed it for a different reason of like these were all like hazy things in my periphery at the time. And now I get, you know, the actual information of like what was going on and these people whose names I know. I get to sort of know their personalities and their stories a little bit better. So I thoroughly enjoyed it aside from the structure of it.
Yes, which a lot of people had problem with. And there was a really great tweet that I think I shared out that was, I forget the guy's name, the British comedian. He does those road movies. He's the one talking with the long hair.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but he's very funny. He played the director in that Robert Downey Jr. movie.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't. It's Stephen. No, it's not Stephen.
Not Stephen Merchant.
No, I know it's not Stephen Merchant, but yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, British comedian. He has this thing where he's talking about doing a documentary and jumping back and forth as a joke. And it kind of became apparent when they do the last episode and they've got nowhere to jump back to.
Yeah.
That it was like, such a weird device.
I understood the idea of like, okay, so every episode is sort of framed by the game or the series of that last season, and then we go back to find out about like we're gonna see Scottie Pippen a lot in this game, so we're gonna find out about Scottie Pippen's origin story.
Yes.
Like I get that, but I'd rather just have the flashback, like
within
give me the pertinent information,
because
sometimes the flashback then wouldn't relate at all. I'm like, why did we? What I don't understand.
Yeah.
It just seemed very forced. It seemed like a cool idea that then became too restrictive and like, well, how do we make this work? And especially for someone like me, to me, the 92 Bulls look the same as the 97 Bulls.
Right.
So it's
now, there
like,
was some clarifying that in there, and who cares, really, ultimately. Yeah, I don't think they had to do it that way, because then they're jumping back for each championship, and then they're jumping back for each player's big moment.
It was
and
a
so
lot.
There were a lot of things there.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that this was, and this is starting to become, and I think as people start breaking this down, will become more of an issue, is that it's the Michael Jordan documentary produced by Michael Jordan.
Right. Yeah.
So you get a different flavor there. Now, we were talking about Jordan, and in his career, he was just kind of, you know, he had no real big scandals that landed on him. He was apolitical. And he was a big winner, and everybody loves him just for the winning. But if you look at him outside of that, there's not really much there. And maybe that's what you need.
Right.
I was talking to my father about Django Reinhardt, who he had. And I was trying to, I'm always trying to get my father hooked on something other than religion. So I was just explaining this guitar player
phonics?
To him.
Phonics? Have you tried phonics?
He's hooked on phonics. Phonetics.
Phoenicians.
Phoenicians. So I was explaining the guy and he was an unusual character, but the point that I was settling on is he was so virtuistic because he would just lie in his caravan and play his guitar for 10 hours a day. John Coltrane played till his mouth bled. Jordan would, you know, that level of obsession doesn't leave room for much else.
Right.
Now, obviously, Jordan's competitiveness, he attaches to everything, you know, making money, probably selling the most shoes, being the most popular, all those things. But he passed up some opportunities to use his influence, I think.
Right.
But that's not a part of his personality, obviously.
Right. And I would also say, and again, you know, there's a lot of variables, and one is that I'm more tuned into sports and sports figures and what they're doing, but I do feel like the amount of activism and philanthropy among athletes is much higher now than
yes.
it was back then anyway.
Yes. Well, their pay is much more than it was then.
Yeah.
Generally. Like, Jordan was vast, still, even when he made $30 million a year, which was unprecedented at the time, because there was no cap, even then he was underpaid. Mm-hmm. Like, they figured it out, and, like, LeBron is generally worth, like, $90 million to a team each year with what he gives you in wins and whatnot. So Jordan was very underpaid, as were all of them. What I thought was interesting from the Chicago perspective is, like, in terms of that, is Scottie Pippen was known in town as No Tippin' Pippen.
Yeah, and now and you kind of know why.
Right, he had 10 relatives that he was trying to support on a minimum contract. And, you know, Tony Kukoc was, like, these people were around town in Chicago. Not like they were all hanging out, but Steve Kerr did sets at the Second City while he was a player. And, again, I worked at a restaurant that Tony Kukoc would come into because the manager was a former teammate of his in Croatia.
Oh.
And Tony would drive up in his Porsche, which when you're 6'11", why are you driving a Porsche? Which was always kind of funny. But, yeah, living in Chicago gives you a different perspective on these guys because you... Even if you weren't a sports fan,
you know, yeah.
You're living in Wrigleyville, you're exposed to it by osmosis. And the theater we were at, there were plenty of people making references, I'm sure. I've told the story before. The first show I did in Amsterdam was when Albert Bell was on the White Sox. That doesn't mean anything to you or most people, and certainly not to Dutch people, because I made an Albert Bell joke in the first. I think Brendan Hunt was there, and he may have gotten it.
Yeah.
But it was crickets, Dutch crickets, and then it just fell down. We made it through that. That was a lot of content to watch, too.
Yeah.
Not a lot of commercials. It's a lot of Bulls stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I, you know, I thought that...
What are your opinions of some of the characters? We'll just go through, like, did it change or form stronger opinions on any of these people? Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan...
I don't know. I think Phil Jackson, I think I like him and that's sort of the same. You know, the Michael Jordan stuff, I don't know that I was surprised by anything, but it was, we were talking about this last night, it's interesting when someone is highlighted for their competitiveness. They don't take any excuses.
Right.
What I found was very funny, and this was in one of the earlier episodes when they first started talking about how, like, he quote unquote inspires his team and leads his team to do better. And it's like, well, he yells at his team to do better. And it's one of those things, and I was saying this last night, of like, this would all be framed very differently if he were not as exceptional as he is. And you have to, like, only the best player. Yes. He couldn't be the third best player in the league
right.
and act like that and people to still revere him. He would just be the asshole who is, you know, like, whatever. And we've all played with people like that.
Yes.
Who, like, blame everybody else for not carrying their load and whatever. And he can get away with it.
Yeah. I remember there was a kid, I'm not going to say his first name was Dave, when we were in Little League. And he was very talented, always made the All-Star team. But if he made a mistake, he'd be injured and, always a blame or something, an excuse and something. Now, Jordan wasn't about excuses, but you're right.
And he wasn't about blaming other people, but he did expect everyone to do their part.
And you
was
saw
not
how he treated some of those guys and belittled them in a way that really made them no good. Like that Scott Burrell guy who he's yelling at.
Yeah.
That couldn't have been good for him. And then later on in his career, they don't show this when he went to Washington, but there was a player named Kwame Brown, who he may have drafted, actually, who was a high school kid, a number one pick. And Jordan, I guess, belittled the hell out of that. To a high school kid who comes into the NBA, you got to nurture. And so that, you're right. There was a point in the thing last night where they were like, you know, Jordan's real skill isn't that he shoots so well and handles well. And I was like, no, it is. It is.
Well, it's sort of, to me, it's the difference between, like, being a dad in the 1960s versus today.
Yes.
And he had a sort of, like, old school approach of, like, no, I'm not going to nurture you.
Yes. Bobby Knight approach.
Yeah.
And again, Bobby Knight, it wore out on sooner because Bobby Knight's greatness, although actually Knight probably coached past Jordan's career. But again, same thing.
Yeah.
The world changed and those guys didn't. Now, Jordan got out before it really, you know, you look at what Kobe is, you know, kind of the Jordan 2.0.
Right.
And he took a lot of heat for being that way because he wasn't the best player on his team. With Shaq, then he ran Shaq out, so he was the best player and could run it like that. But, and we talked last night, you and I, that Kobe's transgressions as a player were worse.
Yeah.
The whole Colorado incident. But, post-career, he seems to have taken a different direction, and obviously we're not going to be able to get to see where that goes, unfortunately, but it he seemed to be a little more conscious than Michael Jordan of society at large. And I think that's something that, you know, and Jordan, you know, I think he knows it, like that part where he's crying. It's a pathology he can't get out of necessarily, and there's really not enough motivation for him to get out of it.
Right.
He'll always be the greatest player ever.
Yeah.
So that goes with him everywhere. So being a dick now, he doesn't need new friends.
Right.
You know, he doesn't need to change, although it would perhaps, you know, it could even elevate him more.
Yeah.
But there's a stubbornness that probably you won't get to with that.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. It's
like he could be president in some ways. not at this point.
Yeah.
But if he had applied it differently after his career, there's really no way.
How old is he?
He is probably about 60.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, a little less. Yeah. 57.
I think also going back to an earlier question is that I think.
Into the mic.
I think that I did gain appreciation for some of the other players. Mm. And like the whole thing about Scottie Pippen, like I didn't know about how he was underpaid or like how good he was.
Yes.
Like I think there was a perception with the Bulls at that time for me just on the outside of like it's Michael Jordan and these other guys.
And you never are going to get it. That's kind of the catch 22 with Pippen. We can never really measure. He had 1 year without Jordan.
Right.
Where the Bulls won 55 games, and that was amazing. no team's ever lost a 30-point score and then won 50 games the season after. So he had one season to show it. They didn't make the finals that year, but he was a superstar. But again, over the course of his career, you just won't be able to know.
Right.
There's been a thing today about LeBron playing with Jordan. And LeBron was kind of is like a Pippen on steroids. Maybe not literally. And a better passer, maybe not as very similar ultimately. So I think he would have been the same as Pippen, except he's a better player. But he would willingly pass to Jordan.
Right.
So that's why it would work. But with Pippen, yeah, he has six titles. But how many would he have had? Would two on his own be better than six with Jordan?
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And he did end up getting paid ultimately afterwards. And the question of the seventh, that's the other thing about this documentary where Jordan gets to raise the question of the seventh championship himself, be like, yeah, I think we could have won it.
Right.
Where you don't, again, Jerry Krause got shafted. And Jerry Krause is the little, trollish guy. And he deserved some of it. But him being passed away, it's like, I think Jordan really took advantage of this. There was a little bit of grudge settling in all this, too, with Jordan. You know,
who being passed away?
Jerry Krause,
He's dead?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And his family's been putting out excerpts from his not released autobiography to kind of counter some of this stuff. But that's the one element, you know, Isaiah Thomas appears a little bit, but they talk about it, and Jordan still gets to present it the way he wants to. So that, and someone mentioned this yesterday, I was in conversation, or maybe it was on TV, Isaiah beat Jordan twice. You know, all these other guys, when they had the thing of the 20 Hall of Famers he put out of the playoffs, he did put Isaiah out once, but Isaiah put him out twice beforehand. So that is also a grudge he has. Very, 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 very grudge-holding guy.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have your question that you were going to ask?
Well,
it's maybe not as pertinent. The other night, Molly had a question she wanted to write down to ask me.
Well,
and maybe the...
So here's what it is. And my guess is there's an update to this that I'm not aware of.
Right.
But there was something about how NBA players were basically... being asked to like pay back part of their salary for this year.
Yes.
Take a pay cut, or if they've already received their pay, then they're being asked to pay it back.
Yes.
And my reaction to that, and probably because of watching this documentary, my initial reaction was like, well, that's ridiculous. It's not their fault that there is a pandemic. I'm as surprised as you are that this was my reaction.
Yeah, yeah,
but
sure.
My initial reaction was defending these millionaires.
Well, you're defending them, though, against billionaires.
Well, that's the thing. And we have this discussion a lot, you know, with actors and stuff, too, of like, no, of course, someone doesn't deserve $30 million to play basketball. But if everyone else is making this much money, then they deserve that part of it.
Yes.
So, but I was thinking about it. And then, like, they obviously from what I understand, they don't want to have to do that.
No.
Or feel like they should
have
to. And
there are some players, like LeBron, gets his money up front every season.
So he has to, they want him to pay some of it back, which is hilarious.
Yes.
But then I was thinking, wait a second. F these basketball players. Everyone else in the country right now is taking pay cuts and whatever. And even if, you know, management or the owner, whatever, there's all this money out there, then as a symbolic thing, take part of your salary and like donate it somewhere or something, because they can't keep living in this bubble where they get different treatment from everybody else.
Right.
So it was the reason it was interesting to me was just that I had this like reaction that I didn't expect in terms of being like, no, they should get to keep the money.
Yeah.
But then thinking in the big picture, because I feel like basketball has been a very interesting part of this entire couple of months, this quarantine, because I truly think that the NBA deciding to postpone
the
their season was a milestone in people taking this seriously.
Absolutely.
And I think So I think that was a very wise move. And so now this payment thing is sort of another thing. And on top of it, everyone in this quarantine has been watching this Michael Jordan thing.
Yes.
So it's interesting. I feel like basketball has been like a big part of this.
The culture and their season versus these other seasons was in the middle of it,
right,
near the end. So the resuming of the season goes right to the playoffs, essentially.
Yeah.
As for the money thing, with these sports, it's all collectively bargained. So if they have a percentage of these leagues' money that they have coming in, you know, there should be, and from now on in collectively bargained things, this will be a part of the CBA.
If the season has to be stopped or whatever.
That will be negotiated from now on, obviously. But when people get mad about actors making whatever, or players, just say, okay, well, what percentage do you think they deserve?
That would be a funny way to do salaries.
Yes.
Is instead of get it numbers, be like, this person gets 3% of whatever.
Well, and that's the
revenue.
Risk you take, though. In a movie, or even in a sports thing, that's why they get people with a guarantee, and that's why people become underpaid, because that's why Pippen took that contract.
Right.
He takes the security. Who's the Don King, the criminal boxing promoter?
Yeah.
Used to go, I think it was to Muhammad Ali, but to any boxer, this was his trick. And he would have a suitcase full of money and say, here's what I'll give you, $100,000. Now, what he should have given him was $1 million, but because they see the money right there, they take it. And so the immediacy of that, and of course, when you're poor, you need to do that.
Yeah.
When you're rich, you can afford to wait and play that game.
When you're rich and your career has been established.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Real big tangent.
Yeah, that's
Don
all right.
Don King made me think, this popped into my head on the show, not necessarily the news.
Sure.
From HBO.
One of your
80s.
Most influential shows.
It is. There was a commercial for Don King butter. So there used to be a commercial, for, I think it was called like Imperial Margarine or something. And whenever anyone took a bite with like toast with this margarine, a crown would appear on their head. So there's one, it was called Don King butter.
Boy, you really remember commercials.
I do. And anytime anyone took a bite of it, they would
get that
Don King hair.
Nice. That troll hair.
Yeah.
Boy, trolls coming up a lot today.
Oh, yeah, it's big troll time.
Talk into the mic, please.
Okay.
It's like Nooch is here.
I'm sorry, I moved.
Yeah, that's all right. This is plenty. You've done well.
Thanks.
Thank you. And this is also perhaps the last Sports Widow podcast that will not be on our Patreon page. I was going to do this and then put it on our Patreon page.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give the people a taste of what this is like.
Oh, I wish
one more
I'd
time.
Known that. I would have done a better job.
Yeah, you probably would have. I'm kidding. You couldn't have done a better job.
That's also true.
So we'll have an pardon me, that's a cough button. I gotta get a cough button that covers the cough instead of making a louder one.
Oh boy.
Anyway, we'll have all those announcements at the end. Thank you, Sports Widow.
Thank you.
You can leave now, and then I'll just go into the production of the episode. Alrighty, that was the Sports Widow giving some good insight into that, answering some questions, asking some good questions. And if you're wondering where to find our Patreon for future episodes, and I'll mention when the first one goes up, actually. Actually, I'll tell you where it is then, because there's nothing on it now, and so I don't want to tell you now until you've got something to get up there. All right. We will be back this whole week. We're going to be talking to a bunch of Bulls fans, Chicagoans, seeing what they liked, what they didn't like about The Last Dance, as well as other bits and stuff like that. As sports slowly returns, so do we. And we hope you return with us on your daily sports demp. Later.